Amen. Praise God. Father, we just thank you. We give you the glory for this morning. Even as I'm about to begin to share your word and expound the word you have given me, I pray you shall bring understanding to our hearts, oh God, that we shall have understanding, but not just understanding alone, but there shall be a transformation this morning in the name of Jesus. Lord, we thank you. We give you all the glory in Jesus' name. This morning, I just want to share a simple message titled, Beware of Spiritual Cancers. Turn to the person next to you, say, beware of spiritual cancers. If you turn your Bibles with me to the book of Matthew chapter 15. Matthew chapter 15. And I'll be reading from verse 10. He says, Matthew chapter 15, verse 10. When he had called the multitude to himself, he said to them, hear and understand. Not what goes into the mouth defiles a man, but what comes out of the mouth, this defiles a man. So it is what is in the heart that comes out that defiles one, not what you eat. That's what Jesus was saying. And then verse 16, same chapter. So Jesus said, are you still without understanding? Do you not yet understand that whatever enters the mouth goes into the stomach and is eliminated? But those things which proceed out of the mouth come from the heart and they defile a man. For out of the heart proceed evil thoughts, murders, adulteries, fornications, thefts, false witness, blasphemies. These are the things which defile a man, but to eat with unwashed hands does not defile a man. And in the book of 1 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 27, the Bible says, but I discipline myself. It says, I discipline my body and bring it into subjection. Lest when I have preached to others, I myself should become disqualified. He says, I discipline my body. I just want to replace that body, not just body alone, but spirit, my soul, I discipline it. Lest when I have preached unto others, lest when I have shared the word of God with others, I myself become disqualified. This morning, I just want to share a simple message, but just before I do, I want to lay the background. As it is normally with the beginning of every month, we have a theme. And this month, I've themed it the month of training and development. As Christians, we have a responsibility. Each person has a responsibility to train ourselves, to train and develop ourselves all the time. Not just career-wise, not just business-wise, not financially, but also in spiritual matters. So that we have a responsibility, each person individually, not based on what you hear alone in church, but then you have a responsibility after you leave church to train and develop yourself spiritually. You see, a lot of us tend to spend thousands of pounds training and developing ourselves educationally, training and developing ourselves in terms of our career, our business, financially, but we are very reluctant to spend money on spiritual matters and spiritual books. So when we see a Christian book for about 15, 20 pounds, 50 pounds, a lot of us will not buy it because we think it is too much. But I dare to say that the training and development you give yourself spiritually is more important than any other training and development you can have. Because if you don't have the spiritual training and development, after you have trained yourself in your career, in your business, or whatever realm, financially, if you have not trained yourself spiritually, then you'll find that you will get to the top or pinnacle of where you want to be or your ambition or vision, and then you find that because you have not trained yourself spiritually, you will not be able to stay in that place or hold on to it. Are you listening to me this morning? That's why sometimes you find some people, not just ministers, but Christians, that they are at the top of their career, and something simple happens, and they fall or it wrecks their whole life. That's because they have not learned to train themselves spiritually. Now, I recognize that training and development as a whole is a lifetime key to success in life. It is a lifetime key or factor to us fulfilling the purpose God has given us. This morning, I will just quickly share with you a message I've titled Beware of Spiritual Matters, or Beware of Spiritual Cancers, I beg your pardon. But just before I do, we all know, or we've heard, even if we don't know, what cancer means. Cancer is a terrible and deadly disease that is said to be responsible for 25% of deaths in the UK and other developed countries. That's one in four people that die, it is said, die of cancer, one cancer or the other. It is said that 0.5% of the population yearly is diagnosed with cancer. Cancer is characterized by cells or a population of cells that grow and divide themselves and they spread out. And what they do is the body that they are meant to be protecting, the cells that they are meant to protect, they start attacking those same cells. They start attacking the same body that they are meant to be protecting and nourishing. And what they do is they attack the adjacent cells and they gradually eat away at the body that they are meant to be protecting. And what you find is that cancer is so terrible that it is non-discriminatory. What do I mean by it being non-discriminatory? Whether you are big or small, whether you are old or young, whatever ethnicity you are from, whatever language you speak, cancer affects people all across the board. So it's not based on how you were born or what country you were born in. It's not based on anything like that. I'm sure that if I were to take a sample of this place, of people here, you'd know one or two people that have died of cancer. Definitely. I mean, it's so sad. Recently, my, should I say pastor's wife, Pastor Agu's wife, died of cancer. But that's not my message this morning. You find out that cancer is so terrible that people have it without realizing it for some years or for years. And sometimes, by the time they realize or discover it or diagnose it, it is too late to treat. And by then, they may well be on their way to their death. However, in situations where it is discovered early enough, it can be treated by surgery, chemotherapy, and radiotherapy, and whatever. But this morning, as we have physical cancer, we also have some things that I've called spiritual cancers. And the spiritual cancers are things that eat away at a person's spirit, at a person's heart, a soul, and begin to gradually cut off that person's communication with the Holy Spirit. Because as a Christian, it is the Holy Spirit that protects, that nourishes, that enables you to grow and flourish in the things God has called you to do. And what spiritual cancers do is that they gradually eat away and cut off the communication, the flow of communication between yourself and the Holy Spirit. And if they are not treated, with time, they will gradually kill that person spiritually. Am I talking to someone this morning? Are you listening to me? And spiritual cancers are similar to physical cancers because they cannot be seen with the visible eyes. So usually, the cancerous cells, you cannot see them with the visible eyes, normally. So they cannot be seen with the visible eyes, but they are deadly. They are malignant. Also, like physical cancer, it does not depend on your age, on your size, or your color. It's non-discriminatory. They attack the soul of a person's Christianity, and if not treated, they kill that person spiritually and abort their destiny. And that's why I think that it's very important for us to talk about that this morning. And this morning, I don't know if I'll be able to share all. If I don't, I'll continue to have a second part of it. But I want to share some of the spiritual cancers that you want to be aware of, you want to avoid, if they exist in your life, you want to treat. You want to be to get a surgeon to help you treat it. You want to get the chemotherapy, radiotherapy to kill the cells that are producing those spiritual cancers. And the first thing that I call a spiritual cancer is envy. Envy. E-N-V-Y. Envy. The Bible says in the book of Proverbs chapter 14, verse 30. Proverbs chapter 14, verse 30. The Bible says a sound heart is life to the body, but envy is rottenness to the bones. Notice that. It says that envy is rottenness to the bone. So, people that are envious, what it means is that it begins to cause the bone to decay. It begins to eat away at the bone. It begins to gradually cause the bone to begin to rot. And you find out that envy is one of the most difficult spiritual cancers to detect. Because you don't see it, but it's in the heart. You see, when you are envious of someone, what it does is it eats away at the soul of what God wants you to do. Am I just talking to myself this morning? You see, what happens when people are envious of other people is that because you are envious of the other person, you begin to focus on that person instead of focusing on what God has called you to do. And you don't see the things that God is giving you because you are so focused and consumed with envy of somebody else. And what begins to happen is your soul, your spirit begins to be eaten by that envy. And you start developing other things, and which I will later talk about, that comes with the envy. You see, cancer tends to come with various other illnesses. And, you see, an envious person is someone that has not discovered who they really are. An envious person is someone that has not discovered what they are meant to be doing in life. An envious person is somebody that has not discovered what gifts and talents God has given them in life. An envious person is somebody that has not discovered where they are meant to be at that point in time. Because listen to me, the fact that my friend or my brother goes before me and is making money before me or has a career or seems to be doing better than I am does not mean that I will not get there. It might just be a case of the purpose and my season and timing. But an envious person will not consider season and timing. Are you listening to me? When I say an envious person will not, no, let me use the choir for example. If we have two people in the choir, let's say Anastasia and Bola. Now, they have different gifts. They sing in different ways. They have their voices are different. But if Anastasia hears Bola singing and begins to be envious of her and thinks that she can sing better than me, whereas maybe God has given Bola tenor, is it tenor? Tenor and giving you, what's the other chord? Sorry? Just this tenor. Okay, what's hers? Soprano. Pavarotti is soprano, isn't it? Oh, it's tenor. Okay. You can see that I have no clue. They always say, someone was making fun of me. We were going somewhere yesterday. So I was singing in the car. And that person said, Pastor, you need to wax a CD. I said, if I wax a CD, at least I know maybe 10 people will buy it. My wife said, I won't buy it. You know, so it can be, it's that bad that if my wife says she can't buy, then that means no hope. Amen. Oh dear, what was I saying? Yes. If let's say Anastasia hears Bola singing in soprano. Soprano, you know. And she starts being envious of her and starts trying to sing the way she sings. What she's done is she's moved away from the tenor and the richness of the voice and gift God has given her. And because she's now envious of Bola, she's trying to be like Bola. And what she will be doing is she would have missed the path that God has given her. And what envy does is, when people that are envious, they begin to hate the person that they are envious of. You see, when you are facing your own purpose and destiny, you don't have time to be envious of someone else. You don't have time. I don't have time to be envious of any other pastor in this church, in this city. I can admire them, what they're doing. I can want to learn from them, but I'm not envious of them. Because I know what God has called me to do. And I'm focused on what God has called me to do. And likewise with you, you can learn from other people if they've been ahead of you or they've gone ahead of you. You can learn from them. You can admire the things and appreciate what they've done. But when you begin to be envious of them, then there's a problem. It is a spiritual cancer. Time will not permit me. We won't turn there, but I'll just mention it. We know it. You see, in the book of Genesis chapter 37, the Bible talks about Joseph's brothers. What happened to them? It started with envy. The Bible says that they were jealous of Joseph. And that envy, that jealousy, led them to begin to hate him in their hearts. And as they hated him, what did they do? They sold him. In fact, they wanted to kill him. What envy does is you are killing the person you are envious of. And do you know the terrible about envy? Somebody may be envious of you, but they are smiling. But as they are smiling at you, they are stabbing you. They are choking you in the belly. As Jamaicans say, are choking the belly. So that's the first spiritual cancer. You see, today you are your own soldier. You are the one that will diagnose the one that is you've got. And if you refuse to diagnose it, you know, like I said, cancer is malignant. It is deadly, it is dangerous. And if it's not dealt with, if it's not treated, it starts eating away. That's the first thing, envy. Envy is a terrible malady to the spirit. The second thing, and I'm rushing a bit, second spiritual cancer that I want to talk about is bitterness. Bitterness. Somebody say bitterness. You know, the interesting thing about the spiritual cancers, like I said, is you cannot see it because it's hidden in the heart. But the person that has it knows they have it. Usually. Turn with me to the book of Ephesians, chapter 4. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 31. Is somebody getting blessed this morning? You know, sometimes, you know that people that have cancer, you know the treatment is painful. Surgery is painful. But sometimes you need to go through the pain to save your life. For someone that has cancer and they refuse to go through surgery, what they are basically saying is they want to die. And it is the same way with this. As I'm sharing, some of the things I'm sharing might be painful. In fact, I'm already hitting some spots. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 31. It says, let all bitterness, wrath, anger, clamor, and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. He says, let all bitterness, so this is Paul saying, he says, let all bitterness, wrath, anger, clamor, and evil speaking be put away from you. So basically what he's saying there is, look, you should not let bitterness have a place in your life. He says, you should not have let bitterness have a place in your life. Hebrews chapter 12, verses 14 to 15. I'll just read it out. You don't have to turn there. It says, pursue peace with all people and holiness, without which no one will see the Lord. Looking carefully, it says, looking carefully, lest anyone fall short of the grace of God, lest any root of bitterness springing up cause trouble, and by this many become defiled. You know, bitterness is another spiritual cancer that is deadly. Listen to me. The thing about bitterness, let me explain it. You know, for people that come from developing countries, tropical countries, there is an illness called malaria. And the medicine for malaria is quinine, yeah? And you know, when you eat it, it is bitter. You want to spit it out. People that are bitter, usually when they come around you, they leave a distaste in your mouth. Usually, by the time they leave your presence, there's a distaste in your mouth. People that are bitter tend to have a negative attitude. There are some people that are bitter towards life in general. They are just bitter towards life. And everything they see, I remember we used to have an employee. I don't know what her problem is. But she will come to work, will not talk to anyone. You speak to her, she does the job. She does the job and she does it well. And she's consistent. She comes in day in, day out. She shows up. That's why we didn't sack her. Because at least you can rely upon her. But she comes in and you speak to her. That's how she used to answer. And at first, the first couple of days I saw, I thought, what's all this? And I thought, did I do anything to her? I tried to get friendly. How are you? Now, I don't know, because I could not get to the root of her bitterness or to the root of the problem, because she never spoke. But she was like that with everyone. They would go for lunch, you know, they would all go together for lunch, go and sit down and have lunch together. She would stay back on her own. People that are bitter, they leave a distaste. Are you listening to me? Now, sometimes people are bitter towards life, so develop a negative attitude. But some people are bitter towards other people. And you know, when you get bitter towards someone, it then develops into anger, develops into offenses, it develops into hatred. And then it begins to eat away at your soul. You know, I've heard of stories where families, maybe their great-grandfather, great-great-grandfather, did something to their great-great-great-great-grandfather. And then for 50 years, they don't speak to each other. And a lot of times, you find that most of them that have that sort of attitude, they don't live for long. You know, when you say something is bitter, you want to spit it out. Bitter people don't just have a negative attitude. They are very pessimistic. They are the kind of people that you tell them a dream. How can? Impossible. You tell them something, they'll say, you think you are better than all of us that have been here? Have you heard people like that? Have you met? I mean, there are people like that in church. In fact, there are people like that sitting here right now. Are you listening to me this morning? Bitterness, we need to get rid of bitterness. Because bitterness eats. Let me tell you what bitterness does. Bitterness causes you not to have a possibility thinking. Because people that are bitter don't have a possibility way of thinking. Because all they can see is the mountain. I'm talking about people that are bitter towards life. But there are some people that are bitter towards others. But time will not permit me. Let's move on quickly. The third thing I just want to... Let me jump to one. Maybe I'll just share four this morning. The next thing I want to talk about, unforgiveness. Unforgiveness. Is this very simple? This message is a simple message. But it's important. Because, you know, I spoke about training and development. And 1 Corinthians 9:27, it says, I discipline my body. All these things I'm talking about, you need to discipline yourself so that it does not corrupt you. Where am I? Unforgiveness. Now, Matthew chapter 6, verse 14. Matthew chapter 6, verse 14. It says, for if you forgive men their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive men their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses. Notice that. The Bible says, if you don't forgive men their trespasses, your heavenly Father will, if you forgive men, your Father will forgive you. But if you do not, he will not forgive you. But Matthew 18, 15 to 22, just to back it up as well. Matthew chapter 18, verse 15. It says there, it says, moreover, if your brother sins against you, go and tell him his fault between you and him alone. If he hears you, you have gained your brother. But if he will not hear, take with you one or two more, that by the mouth of two or more two or three witnesses, every word may be established. And if he refuses to hear them, tell it to the church. But if he refuses even to hear the church, let him be to you like a heathen and a tax collector. Verse 18. Assuredly I say to you, whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven, and whatever you lose on earth will be loosed in heaven. Let me explain this. You know, a lot of times we use that scripture to pray. But do you know that Jesus was talking about forgiveness before he said, whatever you bind on earth and lose on in heaven. So what that is saying is that if you do not forgive somebody, you have held them in bondage. You see, when you don't forgive somebody in your heart, when you have unforgiveness, what you are doing is you are holding that person in bondage. And then, what that is doing is that you cannot move forward and that person cannot move forward. You see, one of the key pillars of Christianity is forgiveness. Because Jesus came to forgive us of our sins. That's one of the main pillars of forgiveness. And we have to learn from Jesus. It says something there. You know, it says there that, hang on, where is it now? I can't find the scripture. There's a place that Jesus said, if somebody sins against you, it's in Luke chapter 7 or thereabouts. But if somebody sins against you, that, and the disciples asked, how many times do you forgive? He said, 70 times 70. Or 70 times 7 times. What does that mean? That continue to forgive. Let's be quick to forgive. Be quick to forgive. Listen to me. I'm sharing this, and we're all looking at me that, oh, as if this doesn't happen here. I heard recently about a certain lady, you know, that used to go to a certain church. I don't know what happened. But that person picked up an offense or their pastor or something, or got bitter, left the church, and said that until they die, they will never speak to that pastor. I know the lady, and I know the pastor. That is the height of unforgiveness. And you know that we're saying this, okay, that's to the extreme. But sometimes, you know, people hurt us. Do you know that sometimes we have a right, if I use that word, not to forgive, if I use that word. We don't have a right not to forgive. But what I mean is, somebody has hurt us so much that it's like they don't deserve it. But what Jesus was saying is that, look, whether they deserve it or not, just forgive and move on. Is this making sense? Let me move on quickly. I'm just giving you the key things. Next thing I want to talk about, and I'll finish with this. Next thing I want to talk about, offenses, the number four spiritual cancer. Offenses. Matthew chapter 18, verse 7. Offenses. I'll just read it quickly. Matthew 18, 7. It says there, woe to the world because of offenses, for offenses must come. But woe to that man by whom the offense comes. And then in Luke chapter 17, verse 1. I'll just quickly read that as well. Luke 17, verse 1. Luke chapter 17, verse 1. Says, then he said to his disciples, it is impossible, notice that, it is impossible that no offenses should come. But woe to him through whom they do come. It would be better for him if a millstone were hung around his neck, and if he were thrown into the stone, and if he were thrown into the sea, than that he should offend one of these little ones. Listen to me. You know, it's interesting when I was reading that. It's interesting that Jesus acknowledged that offenses will come. What Jesus was saying is that, look, as human beings, we are flesh. And that there is no way we will not offend someone or someone will not offend us. So Jesus was saying, look, I realize that offenses will come. Because he said in that, it is impossible that no offenses should come. So he was saying it is something that will happen. But he said something. He said, woe to that person through whom it comes. Listen to me. Offenses are dangerous. What Jesus was basically saying is that, look, you know, one of the things I've learned to do, if I offend someone, and I get to know, a lot of times when I offend people, I don't know. But if I offend you and I know, a lot of times I apologize. Or I let go. Or if you offend me, even if you don't come, I let it go. Why? Do you know what offenses tend to do? Do you know what tends to happen with offenses? You know that usually people that pick up an offense, a lot of people that pick up an offense, what tends to happen is that they go to the next person, third person, start telling them about the offense they picked up. And then what then happens is that they spread the cancer around. And then what is no other this person's business, let's say I picked up an offense. Now, it is none of our own business, but I share the offense with her. What happens is she begins to relate with that person based on what I've shared. And then it spreads. And what begins to happen? And Jesus said, woe to him through whom it comes. And what begins to happen is that those offenses begin to eat at the spirit. Offenses are terrible. Because what it does is it begins to penetrate the offended person's soul. Do you know that offenses I tend to compare them with, like, witchcraft. What do I mean by that? Witchcraft usually is incantations, chanting. Do you know that when witchcraft, when they do juju, voodoo, you know what I'm talking about, voodoo. What do? They do incantations. They speak. And offenses, people that pick up offenses, usually what they do is they speak negatively against the person they've picked up an offense. So it's like making incantations and negative things against that person. Is this making sense? And what begins to happen is that begins to, I need to round up. Let's just look at the last scripture. I need to round up. I've been told I need to go. Romans 16. Verse 17. Romans 16, verse 17. It says there, Romans 16, verse 17. It says, "Now I urge you, brethren, not those who cause divisions and offenses, contrary to the doctrine which you learned, and avoid them." Now, here, it was talking about people that cause offenses and based on the scripture. But you can apply it in life as well. It says, avoid people that cause offenses. So what it's saying there is that if you know this person, they are always talking or being, you know, they talk about others, or they picked up an offense about someone and they are all talking about coming to you. I remember, I'll finish with this. I remember when we first got to this city, you know, I met a couple of pastors. So about two of the pastors invited me out to lunch. And, you know, I went to that. We should just, and we had lunch. And throughout the lunch, they were talking about another pastor in this city. Now, when I got home, I told my wife, this one, that I'm never going to go and sit in that kind of gathering. I avoided them. Why? Because by the time they finished, my heart was almost polluted towards that person. In fact, my heart was polluted because I started thinking, this person did this, he did that. And then me too, I've carried their burden. I've carried what they carried, and I started going with it. And let me end there. I need to end. We need to end. Hallelujah. But this morning, I've shared four spiritual cancers: envy, bitterness, offenses, unforgiveness. Let's rise up with all eyes closed. I just want to pray. I want to pray for a set of people this morning. Like I said, you see, this thing, there's no cajoling. I'm not going to cajole you. And there's no pretend. But the truth of the matter is, cancer is malignant. It is deadly and dangerous. And with all eyes closed this morning, I've shared four things. If you know that you are struggling or you are holding one of those things in your heart, I want you to lift up your hands quickly. I just want to pray with you. I want to pray with you. Quickly, do it boldly. Don't do it boldly. There's somebody here.